RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you news commentary, Today in History, Focus and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has to boost digital innovation potential. Bank Rakyat Indonesia BRI set to achieve microcredit disbursement target. Now the news in detail. U.S. government boosting Indonesia to focus on the development of digital economy sector. U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia Robert Ortiz Blake said in a lecture of innovation and digital economy at the Convention Hall of University of Indonesia on Tuesday that President Joko Widodo during the state visit to U.S. in October 2015 saw a strong commitment to use digital economic momentum to support reformation in the economy sector. Ambassador Robert stated that since the social media booming, there is a major change in the world such to boost the country to be more transparent through the internet. The real factor could be seen from the e-commerce sector in the U.S. reached $30 million in 2015. Meanwhile, Indonesia has a big potential to become the biggest digital economic player. According to the data, there were around 80 million Indonesian people keep online every day. M. Taufik Anwar, head of the Bank Rakyat Indonesia BRI Mataram Branch, West Nusa Tenggara, expressed his optimism that the bank will be able to disburse 300 billion rupiah of micro business credit core in Mataram and West Lombok by July 2016. He said in a written statement received by Tempo on Monday that as of January 31, 2016, the bank has managed to disburse more than 100 billion rupiah worth of core to around 5,000 traders. Taufik added that in attempt to accelerate credit disbursement, BRI has initiated the Kredit Pasar, which means market rate program, where the bank allows credit disbursement on weekends. During the core acceleration event held at the BRI's office in Kebun Raya Market, Mataram on Monday, cooperatives and small and micro medium business minister Anand Agung Gede Ngurapus Poyoga applauded BRI Mataram branch performance in disbursing core. Minister Puspayoga added that the 6.2% economic growth recorded by West Nusa Tenggara can be achieved because of micro small businesses entrepreneurship program. The alumni of Sudan universities are gathering at the Sudan Embassy in Jakarta on Sunday. They were determined to develop good relations between Indonesia and Sudan to Sudanese Ambassador to Indonesia Abdul Rahim Al-Siddiq. The ambassador said that Sudan gave 200 scholarships last year to Indonesian students to study in master and doctorate degree. Tulus Mustafa, one of the alumni, said that there are plenty of students from several provinces in Indonesia who study in African country and number is increasing every year. Meanwhile, University of Islam of Sunan Kalijaga, Yogyakarta lecturer appreciated the Sudanese policy to give scholarship to Indonesian students. The university will also develop the amount of scholarship from Sudanese students to study in Indonesia in the coming years. Head of the Regional Disaster Management Agency of West Sumatra Province, Sulfiatno, said flood and landslide occurring in West Sumatra caused at six At least 6 bridges damaged and roads were cut off in some districts and cities. Currently, Regional Disaster Management Agency of West Sumatra Province still record and calculate the material losses. However, it's estimated Solo Selatan region is suffering the greatest losses.
Sumatera Barat saat ini kondisinya sudah mulai berangsur-angsur pulih. Terutama sekali yang kemarin.
Public facilities, especially in Solo Selatan, such as state road connecting Moralabu, Kayu Aroil, precisely in the district of Sangir Liki, and Terbanggi Road along 35 meters disconnected. We still try the traffic access in the south to be an altered way. Secondly, 6 bridges are so impassable, so that there are isolated places and locations in the regency.
Masing-masing dan membersihkan bekas-bekas banjir tersebut. Dan lalu lintas mulai dari jam 9 malam tadi sudah mulai bergerak dari menuju arah Payakumbuh Pekanbaru dan sebaliknya.
In addition, Muara Labu Kayu Aro road access landslide material also covers the access road of Bukit Tinggi to Lubut Sikapin and the traffic access from Payakumbuh to Pekanbaru temporarily paralyzed. However, the condition has been handled and the access road is already back to normal. Sulpiatno further said the Regional Disaster Management Agency of West Sumatra Province has given disaster alert warning to the public about the changes of extreme weather during January to mid-February. Meanwhile, floods and landslide hit several districts in West Sumatra. Head of Regional Disaster Management Agency of Sumatra Province, Supiano said the flooding caused by overflowing rivers because it has not able to accommodate the intensity of the rain that lasted continuously. The flooding hit the city of Solot Agam Regency, Solot Selatan Regency, Limapul Kota Regency, left at least 2,200 houses were inundated and 4,000 residents had been evacuated. Sulpiatno on Tuesday, to Erari World Service explained that the floods have also caused Payakumbuh and Pekanbaru traffic totally paralyzed. However, the present condition of floods in West Sumatra has been gradually improved. Residents have returned to their homes and the road access has been impossible.
Yang jelas, fasilitas umum, ya, terutama sekali di Sulawesi Selatan itu, terutama sekali adalah jalan negara, yaitu yang menghubungkan Melabuh ke Kayu Aro, tepatnya di Kecamatan Sangir di Liki, itu ada.
Condition of Sumatra is now gradually recovering. Yesterday, 50 kota disappeared, especially in Pangkalan sub-district, Pekanbaru, Payakumbuh traffic disconnected. About 4,000 residents who are evacuated today had begun to return to their places and clean out the remnants of flood. And the traffic start at 9 p.m. has already started moving toward Payakumbuh and vice versa.
Kerugian materi itu ya mas. Tim kami, tim TRC bersama gabungan lain sekarang mendata bagaimana berapa jumlah kerugian secara total seluruhnya.
Sulpiatno said in Solo Selatan Regency, Paudua sub-district also occurred landslide. 6 people and house were buried in the landslide that occurred in the district on Saturday. Flood and several district cities in West Sumatra has caused 5 people die and 2 remaining missing. During the emergency response, the National Agency for Regional Disaster Management has been providing clean water. Along with military, police, Red Cross Indonesia and the public, National Disaster Management Agency is now collecting data and other material losses. The last item, Chairman of Indonesian Journal Association of Islam Sun, Edi Andi, said the National Press Day is commemorated every February 9th is to remind the momentum of press assistance among the people. Edi also said that the commemoration is to remind it the importance of press to be fulfilled information for the people and government. According to Edi, the press also important role to supervise and control the social sector among the people. Press and Indonesian people is equal to the pillar of democracy. The National Press Day was held Cimataran, Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara on February 9, 2016. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled Press and a Lot of Interest. Exactly today on Tuesday, February 9, 2016. All pressmen in Indonesia commemorate National Press Day, which is centered in the special economic zone Mandalika, Central Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. In the past, at present and these days, Indonesian press has developed quite hard. In the era of new order, the Indonesian press had experienced the process of freedom as demanded by Indonesian people. After the new order, the press freedom started being increasingly raised by the era of openists. Unfortunately, during the era of openness, this has made media people forget the ethical and moral coverage. Now, through the media, Indonesian people had been easy to know who is involved in law. In terms of contents on television, especially the coverage criminal events, there are media that are vulgar to search the perpetrator's face clearly without carefully looking at the moral ethics and psychological effects. And frankly, the presumption of innocence does not run optimally. Indonesian media are now less controlled by political parties, and finally, the independence of the media is also questionable. Journalists hardly put defense just by looking their owners, who incidentally are the leaders of political parties. The independence of the press as one of the pillars of democracy in Indonesia is often questionable. As members of the press, they should present news and information that demonstrate neutrality, and they are free from pressure and command of certain parties. It is timely for the media to reflect on the role of the press in presenting good quality information, and it is free from all form of negativity. Public's interest should be prioritized above all other interests. Hopefully, Indonesian press is increasingly keen to scrutinize the public and the government for the sake of the country. Congratulations on the National Press Day. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with February the 9th, 1946, the Indonesian Journalists Association is founded. The Indonesian Journalists Association was founded on February the 9th, 1946, on the initiative of a few journalists. A congress was held in Solo, Central Java. They agreed to set up an organization with the name of the Indonesian Journalists Association, or PWI, abbreviated in Bahasa Indonesia. The organization goal is to unite all journalists in Indonesia with all their potentials. In the congress, Sumanang was elected as the first chairman of the Indonesian Journalists Association. In 1985, through a presidential decree number 5 in 1945, the birth date of the Indonesian Journalists Association also officially became the National Press Day. Next, let's switch to what happened on February the 9th, 1965. The Vietnam War, also called the Second Indochina War, begins. The Vietnam War, also called the Second Indochina War, occurred on February the 9th, 1965. The First Indochina War was between the Vietnamese people who fought against the French colonialists and ended in the defeat of France in the 50s. On February the 9th, which is often said as the beginning of the Second Indochina War, marked with the arrival of the first battalion of the U.S. military forces who were sent to South Vietnam. This battalion was an air defense forces incorporated in the U.S. Marine Corps. The deployment of American troops sparked protests from various corners of the world. The Vietnam War ended in the early 70s with the defeat of South Vietnam, which was helped by the United States, while North Vietnamese were aided by China and Soviet Union. Both North and South Vietnam later were united in 1976. Last in the Today in History is from 1986. Halley's Comet last appeared in the inner solar system. Halley's Comet, or Comet Halley, is a short-period comet visible from Earth every 75 to 76 years. Halley is the only known short period comet that is clearly visible to the naked eyes from Earth, and the only naked eye comet that might appear twice in a human lifetime. Halley last appeared in the inner parts of the solar system in 1986 and will next appear in mid-2061. Halley's returns to the inner solar system have been observed and recorded by astronomers since at least 240 BC. Clear records of the comet's appearance were made by Chinese, Babylonian, and medieval European chroniclers, but were not recognized as reappearances of the same object at the time. The comet's periodicity was first determined in 1705 by English astronomer Edmund Halley, after whom it is now named. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today's theme of the Focus is Indonesia rejects French palm oil tax plan. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. The government of Indonesia will conduct diplomacy related to the application of progressive tax to palm oil by France because it will affect the commodity companies and smallholders in Indonesia. Director of Palm Oil Plantation Fund Management Board, Krishna Murthy, said the policy is not fair. In addition to discrimination against other vegetable oil products, this policy violates the international agreement in the World Trade Organization, WTO, which includes Indonesia and France. He explained that the amount of palm oil sales to France is not dominant. However, this is not a problem of big or small, but the discrimination. Bayu Krishnamurti feared when the French government successfully applied these rules, then other countries both in Europe and outside of Europe will follow the policy. Related to that, Deputy 1 of Maritime Sovereignty at the Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs, Arif Hafaz Ugroseno, said the tax assessment plan contained in the draft of French biodiversity law decided on January the 21st. According to Hafaz, the French Senate considered the oil tax policy is to help combat deforestation and ecosystem damage. The tax is also used to remove harmful pesticides claimed to be used in palm plantation throughout the world. Hafaz affirmed that the Indonesian government assessed it is discriminatory taxation plan for the French production of vegetable oil product is not given that same treatment. Hafaz added, together with the Ministry of Commerce, Ministry of Industry, and Ministry of Agriculture, he will make diplomatic efforts on the French government. Meanwhile, Minister of Commerce Thomas Lembong said palm oil tax set out in Amendment 367 and adopted by French Legislative Supreme Council violated the principles of the World Trade Organization. He asked the French government to work together with Indonesia to resolve the problem in France, especially with regard to palm oil. Thomas Lembong said he had sent a special letter to the French government to help cancel a tax that will begin in 2017. According to Thomas Lembong, such a tax would create price discrimination and will adverse Indonesia. He emphasized that the Indonesian government will make every effort to protect and safeguard the interests of market access for Indonesian products overseas so that there will be no obstacles. Well, that was Focus today on Indonesia rejects French palm oil tax plan. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. U.S. government boosting Indonesia to focus on the development of digital economy sector. U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia Robert Ortiz Blade said in a lecture of innovation and digital economy at the Conventional of University of Indonesia on Tuesday, February 9, 2016, that President Joko Widodo during the state visit was in October 2015 showed a strong commitment to use digital economy momentum to support reformation in the economy sector. M. Taufid Anwar, head of the Banrai Indonesia BRI Mataran branch, West Nusa Tenggara, expressed his optimism that the bank will be able to disburse 300 billion rupiah of micro business credit core in Mataran and West Lombok by July 2016. The alumni of Sudan University were gathering at the Sudan Embassy in Jakarta on Sunday. They were determined to develop good relations between Indonesia and Sudan to Sudanese Ambassador Indonesia Abdul Ar-Rahim Al-Siddiq. Head of Regional Disaster Management Agency of West Sumatra Province, Sulpiaton, said flood and landslide occurring in West Sumatra counts at least 6 bridges damaged and roads were cut off in the some districts and cities. Meanwhile, floods and landslide hit several districts in West Sumatra. Head of the Regional Disaster Management Agency of West Sumatra Province, Sulpiaton, said the flooding caused by overflowing rivers because it has not able to accommodate the intensity of the rain that lasted continuously. Chairman of Indonesian Journal Association of East Lampung, Edi Andi, said that the National Press Day is commemorated every February 9th. It is to remind the momentum of press assistance among the people. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to headline of some national newspapers today on Tuesday, February 9th, 2016. We start from Kompas. In its headline, writes about wasteful of budget. Although the quality of the state budget improved, there is still waste in spending. The old pattern in the form of project budgeting wasteful repetition until the travel of working that is not useful appear in budgeting. Wasteful was seen in the early days when the state budget starting in 2015. The Ministry of Finance, through the evaluation, found the inefficiency of spending of 9.92 trillion rupiah. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said Monday in Jakarta, there's still a lot of wasteful spending in several ministries and state agencies. Meanwhile, Media Indonesia in its headline writes about cyanide is easily to be obtained. Indonesia should have a special body to monitor and record the circulation of dangerous chemicals. Chemical toxicology expert, University of Indonesia, Budiwan, justified the surveillance of chemicals in Indonesia is still weak. Indonesia lags behind Europe, America, Australia, Japan, and some ASEAN countries related to the setting of the chemical. The toxic chemicals taking post-death of Wayan Mirna Salihin in Olivier Cafe on January 6, 2016 after drinking Vietnamese coffee containing 15 grams of cyanide. Republika in its headline writes about labor union reveal mass layoffs. Indonesian government and labor union shouted contradictory remark about mass termination of employment. The government denies the existence of layoffs, but the union insisted that the job cuts have occurred. Chairman of the Indonesia's Workers' Union, West Java, Bekasi Chapter, Abdullah, asked the government to take concrete policy to prevent mass layoffs. According to Abdullah, at the beginning of 2016, there were thousands of workers lost their jobs. And we end with Sindo. The Daily writes about the revision of KPK law, no need to be continued. The plan of Parliament to revise Law No. 30/2002 on Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, continued to reap the reaction. Revisions will weaken not only assess the anti-corruption agency, but also plunge Indonesia into the bondage of corruption. These reactions were made by the expert of constitutional law, such as Mahfud MD, Chairman of the Parliament of Legislation of Gerindra Party Supratman Andi Adgas, and criminal law expert Yanti Garnasih. They requested the plan of law revision of Corruption Eradication Commission KPK is terminated. Listener, that was the headline from national newspapers published today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet en.voi.co.id.
Thank you for still listening at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with English Bulletin. Next segments, we have Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Bongo Tourism Village in Gorontalo. Stay tuned. Bongo is a small village located in the southern of Gorontalo Regency, Gorontalo Province. It is not so far from the center of Gorontalo City, only takes about 30 minutes. It is beautiful nature with enchantment panoramas. In addition to beautiful nature, Bongo Village offers a unique old tradition in the form of Walima ceremony, which is held in a maulid or birthday of Prophet Muhammad. In Walima ceremony, the whole community's paraded kolembeni cake to the mosque and then divided to those present in the ceremony. This unique event is always awaited by thousands of tourists every year. Listener, entering the gate of Bongo Village, you will feel the religious atmosphere because the community there strong with Islamic values. The religious atmosphere will be more pronounced when you enter Alam Bobohu Boarding School, founded by Joseph Tahir Ma'ruf, who is better known as Yotama. He is one of the community leaders of Bongo Village. Pesantren Alam or Natural Boarding School, surrounded by shady trees, with two unique-shaped swimming pool called Santri Pool and Asma'ul Husna Pool. The natural Boboho Pesantren inhabited by 600 students, consisting of local residents. In addition to religion, the students are taught the preservation of nature and culture. Besides having a boarding school, the Bongo Village also has a unique mosque, namely Walima Amasu Mosque. The mosque stands on a hill at an altitude of about 250 feet above sea level. Visiting the mosque, you will be invited to witness the stunning scenery, vast expanse of the ocean and the hills to the settlement, as well as fishing boats lying underneath. The mosque measuring 10 by 10 square meters and consists of two floors. The second floor directly open to the sky. On the side of the stairs of the mosque is also built a Hijriah calendar, which is claimed largest in the world. Besides schools and mosques, You also can see a wide variety of unique ornaments scattered among villages. For example, Toyopo or cakes container-shaped lodgings, namely Wambohe. Wambohe is usually used as a shelter for travelers. The shape is unique. At the bottom has an open space that is used to mingle while enjoying the fresh air, while the upper part can be used for the rest. The millions of years old wood fossils can also be seen in Bongo. You can see directly thousands of fossils and get a variety of information about the fossil because it provided the board to explain the process of the fossil. For those interested in visiting the Bongo Tourism Village, it is free of charge. However, you are expected to enter marbles into a box as a marker of the amount of visitors coming into the site. If you're interested to come to Gorontalo, please also come to Bongo Tourism Village. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Bongo Tourism Village in Gorontalo Province. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is ke rumah sahabat, or in English, visiting a best friend's house. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Lihat. Lihat in English, to see or to look. Turun dari mobil. Turun dari mobil, to get off the car. Rumah. Rumah, house. Sahabat. Sahabat, best friend. Aktris. Aktris, actress. Hobi. Hobi, hobi. Memasak. Memasak, to cook. Mengundang, mengundang, to invite. Teman dekat, close friend. Besar dan bagus, big and beautiful. Makan siang, lunch. Ruang olahraga, gym. Kolam renang, swimming pool. Memanggil, memanggil, to call. Instruktur, instruktur, instructor. Sauna, sauna, sauna. Dapur, dapur, kitchen. Restoran, restoran, restoran. Perjuangan, perjuangan, effort or struggle. Pengagum, pengagum, fan or admirer. Berfoto, berfoto, take a picture. Next is a conversation on ke rumah sahabat, or in English, visiting a friend's house. Using those words. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Nita and Nancy. Saya lihat kamu turun dari mobil bagus. Saya lihat kamu turun dari mobil bagus. In English, I saw you get off a beautiful car. Kamu dari mana? Kamu dari mana? Where have you been? Saya dari rumah sahabat saya. Saya dari rumah sahabat saya. I had been to my best friend's house. Dia adalah seorang aktris. Dia adalah seorang aktris. She is an actress. Hobinya memasak. Hobinya memasak. Her hobby is cooking. Dia mengundang teman-teman dekatnya makan siang. Dia mengundang teman-teman dekatnya makan siang. She invited some close friends to lunch. Kamu tahu, rumahnya sangat bagus dan besar. Kamu tahu, rumahnya sangat bagus dan besar. You know what? Her house is so big and beautiful. Ada kolam renang dan ruang olahraga. Ada kolam renang dan ruang olahraga. There is a swimming pool and a gym. Sehingga dia bisa berolahraga di rumah. Sehingga dia bisa berolahraga di rumah. So she can do her exercise at home. Dia hanya memanggil instruktur saja. Dia hanya memanggil instruktur saja. She just need to call an instructor. Ada juga ruang sauna. Ada juga ruang sauna. There is also a sauna room. Karena hobinya memasak, dapurnya sangat besar. Karena hobinya memasak, dapurnya sangat besar. Since her hobby is cooking, the kitchen is very spacious. Dia juga mempunyai restoran. Dia juga mempunyai restoran. She also owns a restaurant. Semua hasil perjuangannya sendiri. Semua hasil perjuangannya sendiri. All comes from her own efforts. Lain kali saya ikut ke rumahnya ya. Lain kali saya ikut ke rumahnya ya. Next time take me to her house too. Saya adalah pengagum dia. Saya adalah pengagum dia. I'm one of her fans. Saya mau berfoto bersama. Saya mau berfoto bersama. I want to take a picture with her. Baiklah, lain kali saya pasti ajak kamu. Baiklah, lain kali pasti saya ajak kamu. Oke, next time I will take you. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner. Presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Hernita, in our regular segment Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, presenting a talented of Indonesian popular singer, Virsa, who present in Indonesian music industry. Well, listener, let's listen to the song entitled Kita Yang Berbeda by Virsa. Happy listening.
Tak pernah kubayangkan secepat ini. Aku takutkan benar terjadi adanya. Perbedaan mengalahkan rasa, dan kita menyerah kalah pada keadaan. Kau putuskan pergi melepaskan kita. Tuhan, kita cuma satu, kita yang berbeda, hingga tak mungkin menyatu cinta yang terluka. Ku terima semua ini sebagai rahasia, biar ku simpan selamanya kau di hati. Jangan membuat kesan, hadapilah ini sebagai pelajaran hidup. Kau putuskan pergi melepaskan kita.
Muhammad Devirsa, or more familiarly called Firsa, is an Indonesian singer who was born in Banda Aceh on May 12, 1990. Firsa is the third winner of Singing Talent Show of the 8th Indonesian Idol in 2014. But Firsa previously was the vocalist of an indie music group in Medan called Hopi Pola in 2006 to 2008. After that, in 2010, Firsa joined the indie band called Beautiful Monday because he wanted to get more career in the Indonesian music world. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Hadirmu by Firsa. Happy listening.
Kau selalu ada di hatiku. Selalu ku sebut namamu di tidurku.
Selalu ku rasakan hadirmu. Jangan pernah pergi, oh cintaku, percayalah aku merindu. Jangan pernah pergi, oh kasihku, percayalah aku untukmu. Walaupun ku tak melihat balasmu, tapi selalu ku rasakan hadirmu.
Rasa yang dulu itu masih sama, sedikit pun gak berubah.
In July 2014, Firza joined the Mahadewa group band as the new vocalist, replacing Judith, the vocalist. Besides from being a Mahadewa vocalist, Firza also joined with a record label. under the auspices of this label. On February 27, 2014, Firza released his debut single album, Aku Lelakimu. The songs that was composed by Pongki Barata, previously popularized by Anang Hermansyah. The song became the mainstay of Firza in the 8th spectacular round of Indonesian Idol 2014. The song also dominated the charts in several radio stations in Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Aku Lelakimu and Jangan Simpan Rindumu by Firza. Happy listening.
Datanglah bila engkau menangis, ceritakan semua yang engkau mau. Percaya padaku, aku lelakimu. Mungkin pelukku tak sehangat senja. Ucap ku tak mengepus air mata, tapi ku di sini sebagai lelakimu. Akulah yang tetap memelukmu erat saat kau berjalan nanti. Sudah benarkah yang engkau putuskan? Garis hidup sudah engkau tentukan.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Jangan simpan-simpan rindu itu, karena rindu tak bisa menipu. Apalagi kita jauh, itu pun jarang bertemu. Pastikan ku hanyalah untukmu. Seringkali kau bilang padaku, aku selalu menyakiti.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.